I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered. And now, here's Tony and Fran.
And from the Monolith Studio 1B, this is UFUF 139 with your co-host, casually arrogant Tony the Bully Opinionist, along with my partner, the unfiltered, unfettered, designated driver, the Pope of the podcast, Sir Francis One. Fran, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't heard that title in a long time. I used to be the designated driver for this crew when we were all wearing a uniform, but...
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so it's good. We've gotten a couple weeks in a row in now. Rare feat for us.
It is, but we will be off next week because
we're lazy.
Yeah, because I will be out. But all right. Well, last week it was like Bad Boy Week.
Yep.
This week we got a few more. You know, there's never a lack of crazy that we can talk about in this world, and you know. I have to be honest with you, Fran. I probably listened to the news less this week than I have in a very, very long time.
I'm with you.
Because I'm just getting despondent.
Well, yeah, and it's the same thing over and over. Just, you know, it's we're in the dog days of the campaign right now.
Yes, I mean, we are.
So this is just... Yeah,
and it becomes clear and clear, one of these knuckleheads is going to be the president.
Right.
So,
Yeah, the insurgent time is come and gone. If there was going to be someone to step in, it would have happened by now. So this is
And we will talk about a person tonight who could have stepped in.
He stepped in.
Not so much. Stepped in it. That's right. All right, so we're going to do shotgunning the news. A very, very special long-distance dedication
tonight. This is.
That would be fun, yes.
I was a little stunned when I saw this.
Yeah,
this is
special. This is going to be good. Of course, hardcore politics. A special edition of Oh, No, You Didn't. And we will have a UFUF news break that might break some hearts tonight. So, depending on your affiliations. So, let's get started.
Okay, boys, let's get started. Give me both barrels and shotgun that news.
First up, Fran, our old friend Kim Jong-un firing more missiles and wants to go to the moon.
Maybe he's got staying power. You never know. I mean, this is the most consistent he's been in a long time, right? I mean... Usually he does one of these things, China sends one of their emissaries, and you don't hear from him for 6 months. Now he's showing the world he's got, might have the booster to get it done.
This can only end badly.
Yes. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think that was a question. I mean,
but I mean, there's a thousand different directions it could go in terms of ending badly, you know?
Sure.
I mean,
oh, yeah. No, there's three countries around him where this missile could fall unintended and just start World War III. I mean, Yeah, that's bad news.
Kim Jong, you crazy bastard. You get another shout-out on the UFUF. We should be getting royalties, my friend, and we're not slouching.
Yeah, we're like North Korea State Radio, for God's sake.
All right, next. All right, Fran, this is incredible to me. Okay, FBI report comes out, and in it, and I'm going to play this clip here in a second, it's revealed that some of Hillary Clinton's staffers, when she was in the State Department, were destroying some of her BlackBerries with hammers.
Oh, destroyed her BlackBerries, not their own.
No.
Ah, okay. That might be the distinction. Okay.
Let's take a quick listen to this, and then we'll talk about it.
13 BlackBerries. Let me finish. And 5 iPads. At least she doesn't just stick to either BlackBerry or iPad. This is somebody who is absolutely disqualified from becoming president. They destroyed BlackBerries with hammers in the State Department. That's not what won the presidency.
Actually,
Evan Perez. Hammers, fact check that for me, please, on the fly.
Yes, they did, Brooke.
As
you mentioned, there were 13 devices, mobile devices, and 5 iPads that the FBI said that, you know, in some way were used with her private email server. And they did, in some cases, just destroy them with hammers when they were done using them.
Okay, two things. Number one, CNN, you jackasses.
Yeah, so I didn't see this. Who was the guy who came in and fact-checked it?
A CNN pundit, you know, like they have their panels.
Right.
So he's like the CNN guy Washington that has the report in front of him.
Right.
So then she's got the conservative and the liberal, and the conservative goes, hey, not only did she have 13 devices, they destroyed him with hammers. And Brooke, I can't remember her last name, goes, whoa, let's fact check
right,
that.
Right, so
news.
Who was the voice that came in and said, yes, that was true?
They're like fact checkers.
Oh, it
they're,
wasn't like an FBI representative?
No. Okay. It was just a guy that had the report from
right,
Washington.
Okay.
It was saying, yeah, Brooke, yeah. Okay, so that's point number one.
I mean, she's literally saying fact check the FBI report?
That's what she, no, she wanted to fact check the guy.
Well, right. But isn't he reading it from the FBI report?
Well, no, he was just sitting there.
Oh, okay.
And then as the guy is on a remote location.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. So he goes, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's fact check that. Yeah. And the guy goes, yeah, that's true. They destroyed the cameras. But, Francis, we have a Secretary of State whose staff members were destroying her BlackBerries with hammers.
No, Tony, they were destroying your BlackBerries. Those are taxpayer-funded devices.
Oh, yeah.
The point being, that's a government device. How can you destroy that, admitting to destroying it, without being charged?
Well, that's a good point, because everything, as we know, is on a list. It's accounted for and everything else.
Yeah.
But what I want to know is, just answer the question, why would you destroy a BlackBerry with a hammer?
Look, man, Tom Brady's getting more than that for smashing up his. How in the world is she getting away with this? I mean, and secondly, why would you need a hammer to destroy a BlackBerry? Really, man?
Because you don't want anybody to ever see what's in it, I guess. So, that can be the only answer.
So when the FBI comes in and says, all right, we're going to need to see all of your devices as part of the investigation, what do they say? I tripped and dumped all 13 of them into a grinder? I mean, what do they say? I destroyed it.
I was carrying a hammer back to the toolbox, and I tripped, and it smashed the BlackBerry.
I had a slight seizure and struck it 85 times. I mean,
but this even goes to the depth where the FBI comes out and says they see no reason to press charges, right? In their infamous press conference at this point,
which by itself is an irregular statement.
Yes.
The FBI doesn't make those recommendations. They show the facts and then whether or not there's a crime, not whether or not they prosecute for that crime. The FBI doesn't prosecute anybody. So here's the bigger question.
Yeah.
What if she wins?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is, it's still, believe it or not, polls and all that being what they are, it's still highly probable she is going to win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it is. And we can talk about that.
Then
because
what?
We can talk about the popular vote, but it comes down to the electoral college.
Right. And it's not set up to save him right now.
Right.
So the question is, do we spend the first 100 days talking about this crap?
I think we spend 4 years with the Republicans fighting her over shit like this.
Honestly, and I can't believe I'm saying it, with him, you're not going to have any of this.
Right.
He's dragging no scandal to the White House with
him. Well, he might be dragging plenty of scandals, but they're not government.
No, it's just his big mouth stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's what's just going to fade away with the next news cycle. This is crimes being committed in the open. I just don't understand. Like, I just don't get it.
Wait, let's fact check that. Brooke. Yeah.
Those crimes were committed in the open.
They beat. They destroyed BlackBerry.
Jesus.
With hammers. I mean, they're saying that shit out loud, and nobody's going like, wait a minute.
That doesn't sound right. I'm not a criminal justice major, but that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, because then she goes, oh, okay. So, all right, so that's true. So let's move on. No, let's not move on.
Let's examine that for a second.
Oh, my God.
I mean, okay, but let's just... Can you just picture this? I mean, surely it was like... I would hope, at least, it was in somebody's basement and there's beer and chips around and they're smashing these... Just get the picture of these smashing these iPads?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like, how does that happen?
Right.
Like somebody goes, Chet, take a hammer and destroy that, please.
Or do they line them all up and they decide they're going to get them all at once? Or what? I mean... Or it's like every time she sent a message, they're like, shit, okay, gotta smash another one. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it's like.
You just had another donation to the Clinton Foundation, smash this BlackBerry.
It's like Schroeder on Charlie Brown, right? He's got a closet full of pianos, right?
He
goes and gets another one. Jeez.
I don't know. It's bizarre. Oh, my goodness. All right, next. All right, so Obama goes to the G20. All the major heads of states trot out the big staircase. Obama gets relegated to like the emergency exit.
He's not having a good foreign trip, right? There was almost a throwdown on the flight line in China.
Oh, yeah.
Right? There was almost a fight.
That's right.
Duarte doesn't says, you know, up yours, because they've been fighting for I don't know how long. You know, his final trip abroad's not going well. I'm betting this is a man who's just ready to be done.
Yeah. And China, you know, I've read about this a little bit. You know, they said it was our fault. Like, we didn't accept a, a translator or...
They were close to physical. That's not an exaggeration. I mean, there was pushing and shoving amongst heads of state. I mean, it was just like, you know, it's just not going well. It's time. It's time. It's time for him to be done, I think. Sadly, though, that what's coming in behind him is more frightening than what's leaving. I don't know, you know.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll throw this out there. Okay? If Hillary Clinton gets elected, I believe she would get more respect than Obama, because she could have you killed.
Oh yeah, No, there's no. You know what I mean? I mean, there's. You're going down. I mean, there's.
This blows me away. I mean, this is like the third week in a row we've just. Well, no, we've talked about this probably dozens of times, but with an ever increasing frequency of just how. What a failed jack that our foreign policy is. And
it's
now,
disjointed at best.
You know, and now Obama's getting off, like I say, the emergency exit of a plane, and they had that picture of all those heads of, like the premier of Mauritania coming down the red carpet, president of the United States coming down the emergency exit.
I mean, and this is on the heels of what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
Of Trump standing in front of a podium in Mexico, like, he looked like the damn president. Again, until he opened his mouth and removed that doubt, but... Yeah, that's not, this is not good.
Next. Oh, Mets fans, you could be in for a treat.
Why would they do this? I don't know if you're how much you're following baseball right now, but...
I don't.
The Mets are in the wild card hunt. Why would they do this?
And we're talking about Tebow got signed to a minor league...
Minor league contract with the Mets.
Yeah.
But he's in a position to be called up before the end of the regular season or into the playoffs if they so desire, which is why they signed him now. But why would you do that? Why would you bring this distraction to your ball club? You're in the hunt for a playoff position. But this is why they're the friggin' Mets. And this is why I think
it's just an engineered publicity stunt for Tebow.
Clearly a money grab, but why would you do that to your team? You're fighting it down the stretch. You've won like 10 out of 12. You've closed in on a wild card berth you had no business getting. And you got a chance to make the playoffs. And now you've got this distraction. They just signed Tim Tebow. I don't get it, but... Hey, whatever. God bless him.
I don't know. When it comes to baseball, all I know is the Cleveland Indians and my boyhood team, the Florida Marlins. They're fighting it out right now.
With the boyhoods. That's a little inside joke there. Your Cleveland Indians are in. I mean, they're going to be the team to beat in the American League.
Yeah. They've been doing well. All right, next. All right, and sit or stand is pervading our society in regards to the national anthem.
You know, I'm all for Colin Kaepernick doing what he's doing. I appreciate the fact that a former Green Beret met him on the sideline and said, "Hey, bro, you know, why don't you take a knee? Sitting down is a little disrespectful. At least taking a knee, you know." And so he did that. Clearly, he's open to whatever. So then you have this, is it Megan Rapinoe from the U.S. Women's National Team? Now, she's not on the national team right now. They're not playing. She's playing in the Women's Professional League for soccer, has decided she's going to take a knee. Well, the soccer league has decided you're not going to use us as a political football, so we're going to play the anthem before the teams come out, which is what they do in college football. You may not be aware of that. College football, they don't play the anthem when the teams are on the field. They play it prior to. So she's not going to get the chance to make her stance. And I'm fine with that. The league has the right to do that just as much as she has the right to not stand up during the national anthem.
Right.
I got a problem with her and with the hockey players, the U.S. hockey players, claiming they're going to make this stance when they're playing for the United States, when they're playing on the national team. If you got heartburn with the country, if you are exercising your right to protest, how dare you take up a spot on the national team?
Really?
How dare you?
Well, didn't the hockey coach say, if you're going to sit for the national anthem, you're going to sit for the game?
So the hockey coach, and I think he's in the right. People are saying, oh, he's a damn tyrant. Uh-uh. No, this is different than Colin. Colin Kaepernick is a paid athlete, and the San Francisco 49ers are a public company, right? The NFL is a public company. The U.S. hockey team, You got to try and get on that squad, and you don't get paid. It's to wear the jersey of the United States of America. The coaches just said, look, if you sit during the national anthem, because obviously hockey players can't take a knee on that bench area, you're sitting the whole game. And I think I'm with him. I'm with him.
Too. Yeah, absolutely.
You want to protest, don't go try and wear the jersey of the country which you say is oppressing you or right. other people. That just doesn't make sense. That's just hypocritical. You want to protest, then go out and protest with somebody. Put your career on the line. Show me that it means something to you.
Well, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I mean, the NBA says you're going to stand for the national anthem.
Yeah, NBA has a league policy, so they don't have that
problem.
The
NFL could do the same thing if they so choose, or individual teams could do that.
Right.
Like, I'm paying you. You represent my team, my company.
Right. Either stand up or stay in the locker room.
Right.
That they could easily do that. But this is where, and you're not going to buy this, but this is where you go to a golfer and you get the best answer given so far. And they went to this kid, David Hurley, Naval Academy graduate. He won Tiger Woods tournament this past season, which is a military appreciation tournament. He won it in Baltimore. They went to him, obviously, and asked him, well, what do you think of all this? He goes, look, I wear the uniform for everybody, not just for the people who respect me. But I'm not sure his message is getting out. It's really the messenger who's getting all the attention. So is that really effective?
Right.
I don't think it is. Personally, I don't think it is, he said. And clearly now, it's now the messengers. And I will add this, and this is strictly my opinion, that's what I think Rapinoe's agenda was.
Yeah.
She's an aging national team veteran who's becoming less than relevant. This is her way of staying in the news.
I'll tell you, and I heard even a guy who's controversial in his own right, Ray Lewis. I mean, tremendous middle linebacker for the Ravens, but was involved in some shady shit during his life. But he came out today, and he said, look, I had uncles that served who, when they were leaving, they shook my hand and said, I'll probably never see you again. Don't make it about the flag. There's other ways to go about what you want to do. So, you know.
Dude, let me see these people do what LeBron James did. Drop how much? 40-some million dollars on a foundation that's putting inner-city kids in college?
Yeah.
Don't give me... And so Kaepernick has been coerced into donating $1 million. Big friggin' deal, dude.
Yeah.
You're in the rare 1% of 1%ers in NFL and in professional sports. Rapinoe obviously doesn't make that kind of jack. Hockey players don't make that kind of jack. But don't give me this while I'm protesting the oppressed. When LeBron James, who's not protesting anything, cuts a check for $40 million.
Right.
Put your friggin' money. Tiger Woods has a foundation. Put your money where your friggin' mouth is. Show me that the protest means
something.
Well,
I'll give him some. Okay, technical glitch. I'll give him some credit for tossing up the mill, because that was one of my first things. It's like, well, what are you doing?
Right.
Other than that. So I'll give him a little credit for that. But yeah, I think he probably only did that because of.
There was pressure and coercion there, yeah.
All right, next. Man, a special, special day. I actually think this is the day, the 50th anniversary of the first episode of Star Trek.
There are three channels maybe out there. It's all Star Trek all the time. I mean, it's going from the original series, original episode, all the way through Deep Space Nine and Voyager and the one with Scott Bakula that ran right at the end there, where it's the original captain, you know. If you like Star Trek, you can go nuts this past 2 weeks.
Yeah, because this is it's 9/8. We're doing this on Thursday, and I think this I think I heard this week. I know this is a week, but I think this is the day.
The actual day of the first series.
The premiere, yeah. So big anniversary for Star Trekkers. You Trekkie trash out there. did you ever see that movie Fanboy?
No.
the guy goes into the Star Wars shop, right? And they got a communicator, Star Trek communicator there. And the guy walks in and goes, hey, is this a Star Wars shop? And the guy goes, yeah. And he goes, yeah, wow, you guys got a communicator there, huh? How's come you got that? And he goes, to ferret out Trekkie trash like you! All right, so in honor of the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, Fran, tonight's long-distance dedication is dedicated to Star Trek.
Nice.
This is Casey Kasem on American Top 40 in Hollywood. Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Let's get hardcore.
A couple things on the political spectrum this evening, Fran. First of all, Jesse the Body says he'd beat Trump and Clinton.
I mean, you know, he Jesse never disappoints in an interview, but he said, yeah, if I ran, I'd beat him. So, of course, that begs the obvious question. Why ain't you running?
Well, let me tell you, after you put this on the script, I checked it out. It was on Yahoo News, which is an internet thing. And the interview was by a young lady named Bianca Goladriga. It was about 20 minutes long, and I actually got tied into it and listened to the whole thing because one thing I will say about Ventura, you know, he's compelling to listen to. Every once in a while, my statement would be every once in a while he makes a point, you just got to pick it out from all the crazy, yeah. Right? Because he is nutty. he's like, have you ever talked to somebody who they start out and you think that they're and you know, like maybe you start into a normal conversation, and then within a minute or two, they say something really crazy that makes you think you got to pull chucks and get the hell out of there.
Yeah,
that's
oh, yeah.
What I'm talking to him.
A lot of reporters have felt like that interviewing him. You can see in their faces, like, I got
to
end this.
He wants to legalize all drugs. He just signed a contract with Russian media.
Really?
And you should hear him talk about Putin. He thinks Putin's the greatest guy in the world.
He's also involved still in a lawsuit with Chris. Is it Chris?
Yeah.
It's not Martin, is it? What's the American Sniper's?
Yeah.
His estate, because there was apparently a lot of fabrication in Chris Kyle's book about whooping Ventura in the bar. So he's continuing this lawsuit, much to the hatred of all social media. He's got a lot going on, old Jesse. He's not going quietly into the night.
Well, like I say, every once in a while he makes a good point. He'll be like, he reminds me a little bit about George Carlin. Of course, you know, George Carlin was a comedian. But every once in a while he goes, here's the problem. And I'll be like,
when he was governor of Minnesota, he thought, this dude's got it on the ball, man. I mean, he's, you know.
He goes, here's the problem. And then, you know, the answer is like some crazy
shit.
Beautiful. Okay, then we got the issue of the Matt Lauer interview.
Look, I'm not going to say I told you so. I called this out when he was interviewing Ryan Lochte, right? Did I not go on a hissy fit rant about this when he was interviewing the swimmer over the business at the gas station during the Olympics? Lauer is just a hairpiece, man. He don't know nothing.
He's a tool.
He doesn't know anything. These people are writing his scripts for him, and they put him in one of the most hotly contested presidential, I mean, it wasn't a debate, it was a town hall, right?
Right.
I mean, he's a chooch. He's just a chooch. I'm out there, I said it, I'm just, you know, the guy's just a chooch.
Well, he's taken a lot of heat because he spent most of the Clinton interview talking about her emails, and then he cut her short on some serious answers, and then they say he threw softball questions at Trump, or actually, some of the stuff I've read said basically got steamrolled by Trump. You know, Trump just talked over him, and
he's no match for Trump. Look, I mean, Trump's no dummy. Matt Lauer is. He's a TV hairpiece. Right. What is he doing?
He's a morning
TV
show entertainment guy.
NBC has so many qualified people that could have done that interview.
Right.
Good God, you could have pulled Luke Russert off the Capitol beat and had him do that interview. It would have been way better. That was, I don't know what that was for. Ratings, I guess? I don't know. Like, they were going to need ratings for that? Trump and Clinton finally on the same? I mean, come on. That's just stupid.
Well, again, Lauer's a morning show, entertainment guy.
And let me tell you, if I'm Clinton's people, I'm saying that dumbass played right into our hands. because we can. He's given us the reason why we could come out and say, this is why she doesn't do press conferences. Because all we're going to hear about is emails, emails, emails. She's never going to get to say...
I love that. That's so cheesy.
Little old-timey intro there.
I know. So just talk about this. Let's talk about this. And we've talked about this before.
Yep.
Fox News. Look, for a long time, you know, they used to call themselves the fastest growing cable network in America.
Yeah.
Because half the people in the United States are going to watch Fox. Half the people are going to watch all the other ones.
Right.
But here's what's happened in the last couple months. Of course, we had the sexual harassment claims by Gretchen Carlson. So Ailes leaves within a week of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know whether you call it being dismissed, fired, or whatever, but he got $40
million. Yeah, that's a nice firing, yeah.
Yes.
Well, and then you have, but you had Megyn Kelly backing up those, right? Did she not back up the claims? He tried to get her show off the air, and then she backed up the claims that he was harassing women at the, right? Did she not?
Well, I don't remember what Kelly said. I don't remember what Kelly said. But I know Tantaros, who's now out and suing, has said the same thing. Who I thought Tantaros was a sharp cookie and, you know, a stone-cold looker for sure. But here's the thing. So they settle it out of – they settle with Gretchen Carlson. And this – it blows me away. Carlson got $20 million and an apology.
Yeah.
That –
yeah, the apologies, I mean, the $20 million, yeah, but the apology, right.
That speaks volumes,
but,
that they actually stooped to saying, we'll issue an apology.
Yeah.
That she wasn't treated fairly and she wasn't treated professionally and respectfully and everything else. It says the dude did some stuff.
Yeah, that to me indicates guilt.
Then, right on the heels of that, I think it was the same day, the one, in my opinion, one of the stalwarts of the network, Greta Van Susteren, quits.
She's holding it down at night, right? Hannity's coming unglued with his walking orgasms for Trump. So Van Susteren has become the voice of reason on that channel, and now she's leaving.
Has been for years. One of the and they stuck her. You know, she used to be like in the 10 o'clock slot, and then they wanted Megyn to have her own show, and they moved Hannity, and then Carlson got stuck in the 7 o'clock, which, let's face it, for a news show, not the greatest slot,
right?
Because that's when people are getting home, they're having dinner, they've not sat down to watch TV yet. I actually used to turn it on and just kind of let it play when I was home because I like Greta Van Susteren, and I thought, like you say, kind of the voice of reason and some of the craziness. She up and quits, and then the coup de grace happened over the
slap in the face.
And let me tell this story very quickly. And we've told this before. Fran and I, 16 years ago, we called Mitt Romney as the president. Didn't happen, but he did run for president.
Live on the air, we did.
Live on the air. Another guy we talked about who was not too far down on the list, one Bo Deedle. Okay, we talked about Bo Deedle 16 or 17 years ago. Turns out, he was just this caricature cop, retired New York City detective.
There was a cheesy movie out with a Baldwin movie, brother playing him.
Billy Baldwin played Bo Deedle, a cheesy movie. But he's turned into like a world-renowned private investigative and security firm. Also a contributing, contributing talking head to Fox News.
Right, usually on terrorism issues.
Yeah.
But considered one of the toughest detectives ever in New York
Absolutely.
Police Department.
And if you've ever seen him, if you know who I'm talking about, I mean, he is a comic book character.
Oh,
He's perfect for the New York City hard-boiled detective.
When you think of the stereotypes surrounding all that, Bo Deedle is the face you come up with.
He's the guy.
Yeah.
And they didn't renew his contract over the summer. That hurts, Fran, I got to tell you.
Because
I would occasionally see him, you know, on one show or another. I don't watch it all the time, but it was nice to catch him sometimes. They let go Bo Deedle. What's happening over there at Fox?
They're coming apart, man.
All them family values just crumbling down. What's
going
to happen next?
Yeah, all those family values as the head man is there grabbing on the sweater puppets of all his female anchors. Yeah.
Which is just cheap. I mean, you got a guy with the money of Roger Ailes, and he's talking smack to Gretchen Carlson and all these people.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right. Next, something far more interesting, perhaps. Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't.
this bit fits our intro clip.
I love this opening. This is like one of the greatest clip openings ever.
So, we'll play this. We got to play this.
Now, before we've called this.
Yes.
We called this months ago.
Yes.
About Gary Johnson and his running mate.
I even mentioned his vocal patterns.
Right.
At one time.
Right.
The way he talks. So, Gary Johnson this morning is on MSNBC just this morning, and he gets asked about Aleppo. Now, if you don't know what Aleppo is, it's a city in Syria that's at the center of the refugee crisis and all that. But if you don't know who Aleppo is, you're not running for president.
That's the thing to keep in mind. You're not a presidential candidate. Don't feel bad if you don't know what Aleppo is. This man's running for president of the United States.
And whether you think we should be there or not, or this or that, it is the center of one of the biggest genocides going on in our generation.
It's a humanitarian conflict that you've not seen in forever.
Let's just listen to the clip.
Category. What would you do if you were elected about Aleppo?
About
Aleppo.
And what is Aleppo?
You're kidding.
No.
Aleppo is in Syria. It's the epicenter of the refugee crisis.
Okay, got it. Got it.
Okay.
Well, with regard to Syria.
He don't got it. What is Aleppo?
What he has is a pre-planned answer about Syria. The minute the dude said it's a city in Syria, he still doesn't know what Aleppo is. He don't got nothing. What he got is a handful of no votes is what he got. Jeez.
I wanted him to say, is that a Pokemon?
Yeah.
I captured that on my phone.
Do you mean like Zippo? Is that a lighter? What are you talking about?
Holy shit.
So what we called was... We had seen him with his running mate. And I think we both kind of thought at the same time, that ticket's upside down.
Right. Yeah,
that vice president candidate for Gary Johnson is way smarter than Gary Johnson.
Yeah.
You had remarked about his speaking style is a little bizarre.
Which is like that. He goes, what is Aleppo? And he goes, da-da-da, and he goes, okay, got it.
Yeah, like he said, and what is Aleppo with an excited interest? Like,
yes.
Really, dumbass? You're running for president. You should know what this is. You shouldn't be excited about not knowing what it is.
That was
as cringeworthy as it gets. And what's sad about the whole thing, he needs 15% to get in the debates.
Right.
In several polls around individual states and in battleground states, he's at 15. The Election Commission has said, if you can maintain your battleground position, we're going to let you in the debate. So he doesn't have to get a national average of 15%. Nationally, he was like between 8 and 10. So he was getting there. A couple more points. He's inside the margin of error. And they were going to kind of have to let him debate. This might have took care of that.
I don't know.
The three people who watch MSNBC may not now vote for him. But that was brutal. That goes beyond Carson and what's his name there? Who was the business magnate from Atlanta? He had a radio show. Is it Kane?
Herman Kane?
Yeah, when he said, I don't know who... they're talking about Ukraine, and I don't know what kind of... He just kept reiterating the one syllable because he couldn't pronounce the name, and I can't remember the guy's name. But this surpasses all that. This trumps all of it, if I could use that word. Trumps all of that. Bad move, Gar. I think you're done.
I'm just going to tell you something. I miss Sarah Palin so much.
Yeah. He makes her look like a Nobel laureate, man. Jesus. That's brutal.
And what is Aleppo?
He was excited like he was going to learn something new.
Is that one of the new designer drugs? No, that's at the center of the biggest genocide going on in the world right now. Oh, got it.
Yeah, got it. I got it. Aleppo.
Ah.
Oh, that Aleppo. Now I got it. God!
Yeah, no. Could you use that in a sentence?
Yeah.
Country
of origin? Syria, you dumbass! It's in Syria! Oh, I got it.
Gotcha.
Okay, yeah.
Let's get this short. But it makes the prospect of him getting in a debate all the more exciting.
Well, that's true. I mean, for the entertainment value alone. Like, I could just see Trump looking at him like, who is this goofy bastard?
They had a clip of Hillary Clinton later in the day getting off a plane in front of a mic, and all she was saying is like, Aleppo, look at a map for God's sakes. Something like that.
Yeah, the two of them would grind him up.
All right. Yeah, I think so. But he did say he quit smoking pot since he started running for president.
Are we sure about that? I'm not sure I'm buying that. Not sure I'm buying it.
All right, let's go to Signs of the Apocalypse.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Francis, the day draws nigh.
Yeah. So, you know, we've talked a lot about in our Signs of Apocalypse here and there about how we're helping the machines to pretty much, yeah, Alexa, pretty much, here she comes to life.
Alexa, not quite sure. What's a nanotube?
I can't find the answer to the question.
Yeah.
You're a lying bitch, Alexa. Liar.
Hey, I gotta live with that.
Liar. So here's what's happening. 25 years ago, nanotube technology was supposed to revolutionize all of our electronic devices. It's just a series of tubes, not like the internet, but that minimizes circuitry, like down to like
right.
The nano level, if you can understand that. Drops all the heat, speeds up computing power, like beyond comprehension. Well, they couldn't do anything with it 25 years ago. There were three issues with it: the electricity, the heat, and the resistance. They've solved those problems here in the last couple of years, since 2013, and now they're on the brink of being able to apply nanotechnology to electric circuits, and that's huge, because mainly it is the infrastructure necessary for machines to take over, right? This is what would sustain machines who are capable of artificial intelligence.
A nanotube is the diameter of 1 nanometer, mm-hmm. which is about 1/10,000th the diameter of a human hair.
Right.
They're not only smaller, they're faster, and yes, I am reading, more efficient, and they would generate less heat than silicon. In other words, CNT chips, carbon nanotubes, would give you lightning speed and much longer battery life without overheating and the need for fans to dissipate excess heat.
That's the key, right? So that's what the machines are always looking for, right? They're always looking for a power source, and a power source that doesn't overheat. And what did our boy Elon Musk say, and right. Stephen Hawking? The minute that we got AI, we've doomed society.
The minute we realize it's too late.
It's too late.
And this, when nanotubes become operationalized, it will make everything we own now obsolete.
Right. And it also becomes, even in its nano size, the infrastructure for the machines to do the very thing that these guys are saying you don't want to happen. Bad move. This is something you said a long time ago, but about politics. It's never a big thing. It's always these small things that keep clicking into place over years. It could be years of a presidency that's gone sideways. And it's happening. It's happening. Brace yourselves, people.
I need maybe 30 at the most.
You need 30
years. Yeah. And then, you know, how big are you going to be?
So here's the thing, though. That's the other issue with as the circuitry, as the nanotechnology becomes more useful, user-friendly, it speeds up the right. evolution of technology.
Right, right.
Faster than it's going now. And so your 30 years could be an eon compared
sure.
to what,
sure.
you know, so.
Sure.
Yeah, I would say we'll have overlords before you and I expire.
All right. Well, I'll sell out.
See what Jesse the Body has to say about that.
I'll tell you what he has to say about that, Francis. It's the two-party system. I mean, look, if you get a chance, if you get 20 minutes, go on Yahoo News and look at that. Because it is, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he does a show about conspiracies.
Right. And he is actually the voiceover of our conspiracy leading,
actually,
right?
Yeah. His voice is on there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it is. It's so crazy. I mean, you have to kind of respect him because the dude is one of those guys. He's done a little bit of everything. He was a Navy SEAL. He was a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
He was the governor of Minnesota. He was on a TV show.
Man.
I mean, he is a Renaissance dude. But he is nuttier than hell.
I bet he can cook like hell, too, man.
And he's going to vote for Gary Johnson, too. He's a big Gary Johnson supporter.
Well, yeah. I mean, they probably give each other marijuana plants for Christmas. I mean, it's not.
Yeah. Well, he wouldn't admit when the last time he smoked pot, though. But he said, I only smoke on them in Colorado.
Oh, right, because it's legal there for recreation.
Yeah.
I bet he knows what Aleppo is. What's her name here? Alexa knows what Aleppo is.
Alexa, what's Aleppo? Alexa, where's Aleppo?
I can't find the answer
Man,
to the question.
I don't know what good this thing is doing me.
Well, yeah, that's a little... See.
Alexa, where's Syria?
Syria is a UN-recognized country in Asia. It shares a border with Turkey, Iraq, Israel, Lebanon, and Jordan.
Yeah, well, you're smarter than Gary Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, folks. 139 in the books. We will be off next week. So enjoy yourself because I'm going to... Mm-hmm. Hey, hasta luego for our Hispanic listeners. Just to let you know, we are inclusive,
very inclusive
of all cultures here. Love you, folks. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Good night. Jonah, tell all the good people night-night.
Night-night. Night-night.
Thanks for getting unfiltered and unfettered.